Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the show today. Usually I go first with new stuff and Betty does some least of these that we didn't get to. We're going to flip the script today because mine's kind of political and I feel like working my way into it. And I know that Betty and Gavin sometimes like, oh, politics right out of the gate. So let's start with yours, Rock.
I appreciate that. Yeah, mine is about... Oh, wow. I wrote the whole story about her and then didn't get her to write down her name. But it's Christina Applegate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So she's 50 years old. You know her from Married with Children and maybe Anchorman.
Yeah.
But she was recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I don't know much about it. I just know that I think it's the same thing that Selma Blair,
I believe, has that too.
She got diagnosed with as well. But so Christina Applegate, she was in the middle of making the third and final season of Dead to Me, which is, I haven't seen it, some show on...
Is it Hulu?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix, okay.
It's a darker show.
It is darker. I had seen one season of it, and like she's really good in it. Like I hadn't seen her in a lot of years do much of anything. I'm like, oh yeah, she's good. I remember her and some of the supporting cast in it. You're like, oh, I like them.
Yeah. But yeah. So since she was recently diagnosed with MS, she said, quote, there is no, no better, meaning like there's no way of getting better.
Yeah.
She said, but it was good for me. I needed to process my loss of my life, my loss of the part of that part of me. So I needed that time. Although it's not like I came on the other side of it like, woohoo, I'm totally fine. No, I'm never going to accept this. I'm pissed.
See, I appreciate the honesty in that because there are a lot of people that they'll go through something really bad and they'll be like, you know what? If I could, you know, you ask them, well, what would you change? Would you change a thing? No, I wouldn't change a thing. I just enjoy this sickness, you know?
Right.
And you're like, part of me is like, wow, are you really that like evolved, you know, as a human?
Yeah,
or are you just telling
evolved.
Yourself that?
I think it's you. That's all you're left with. You are either left with... being pissed and mad and you're just done and giving up all hope, or you find some kind of hope in a bad situation.
Sure.
And hope is what keeps you going. So
absolutely.
I commend people like Selma Blair. She got MS and she's been all about like staying positive and stuff. I don't think it's her being fake. I think it's her trying to show that there is hope despite your circumstances. And that's something we should always learn.
And I think a lot of people too, like when they have faith and then they go through something, they look for the bigger purpose in it, you know, and that's the only thing sometimes that can make it okay is that you find, okay, I found a new purpose and I'm going to do something constructive with my life that helps people. And you see people dedicating themselves to helping others, and that kind of makes it palatable. Like Michael J. Fox having Parkinson's and where he is degraded to his health, unfortunately, you're like, oh, you just feel bad for him. But he started this foundation and did a lot of amazing work, funded a lot of amazing work, and they're making strides in that. But I think like Christina, where it's kind of new for her, it makes sense that she's in this place. And again, I respect people that are honest with it that way too. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't like this. I hate this. I'm not going to wish this on myself or anybody else.
Of course you wouldn't. I mean, that's just common sense. But I think that there are different stages of coming to terms with something like a bad diagnosis.
Oh, absolutely.
They did say that her mobility has definitely declined.
Oh.
She needed a wheelchair to get on set to finish this last season.
I respect her for going and finishing the season. I mean, that's not easy to do when you don't feel well and act, you know, that's good.
And she even admitted that a sound technician had to hold up her legs out of camera range to get shots. And she could no longer film establishing shots showing her walking into a room because she couldn't do it unassisted.
Yeah.
So she would have to open doors and scenes just to lean against them to keep her up.
Wow, that progressed quickly, it feels like.
It really did. She's even put on 40 pounds. So she looks different, too. And she said, like, if that's all you notice, if that's the one thing you're going to judge me on, then you're a sad person anyway.
Here's the worst part about this is there'll be someone online that sees a picture of her and goes, wow, she's really bulked up. Boy, Christina's not hitting the gym anymore. She looks heavy. And they won't know the whole MS thing.
Yeah.
And because that's what happens on the internet is people troll everybody and they got an opinion about stuff. And like, I would feel bad for her in that.
Yeah. She said that looking back before her diagnosis, she said that there were signs of the disease.
Really?
She said she caught herself being off balance violence while shooting a dance scene, and her tennis game was off. She recalled being self-critical, thinking she just needed to work harder, but she said she wishes she had paid attention. But
yeah, but what can you do? Yeah, I mean, they're at that point where it's still not no cure for it.
And sadly, she works in the entertainment industry, and there it is very important, sadly, about how you look. Mm-hmm. And so with her gaining that weight, it's not fair, but women are put to a stricter standard, and that's not going to be helpful for her. And also, too, she's going to now be walking with a cane or using a wheelchair, and she's only 50 years old.
I know.
You definitely have to go through a stage of mourning, I would understand.
And I think that's fair. Like, the life that you knew or the life that you planned is over. And I've seen that happen with other people. I've seen that happen with, like, my in-laws and stuff like that. Like, their whole plan was, you know, retire and travel and just spend time together, the golden years, you know, kind of thing. And then my wife's mom got cancer and got sick and fought it for 7 years hard. But then that dream was gone, you know, and so you have to come to terms with that. I guess everybody comes to terms with stuff like that differently, and some people come to terms with it quicker. I have a feeling she'll probably, once she gets past this point where she's at of the anger, because it's like grief. You've got stages that you go through, and she'll get to that point where she has to find something redeeming in it, and she has to find some kind of purpose in it. And usually that's to help others, or else, you will become hopeless. And when you get to hopelessness, you get to being despondent, and that's where bad things really happen.
Yeah, and I was looking to see, does MS, is it fatal? And it says that it's not, but complications may arise from severe MS.
Right.
Such as chest or bladder infections or swallowing difficulties.
Yeah.
The average life expectancy for people with MS is around 5 to 10 years lower than average.
That's where I was always surprised. Yeah, and it basically takes away your mobility, and so you live a harder life, for sure. I was always surprised at people who die from Alzheimer's. You know, you're like, well, how does Alzheimer's actually kill you? Because, it's a memory type thing, and like, do you forget to eat? You know, I'd always thought, I'm like, why does it physically, what else does it do to your body to shut your body down?
You thought it was just in your brain.
Yeah, but I don't think it is. I think there are other correlations that disease has that affects other parts of the body as well. But that's a cruel disease, man. That's another one. I mean, it's a lot of bad, obviously. But you got to try to find the good inside of it and work your way through it. Speaking of a lot of bad.
Hey-o.
Here we go.
Segue. Perfectly timed announcement made just in time for the midterm elections by Kamala Harris. She announced that a $13 billion plan to provide assistance to help cut energy costs this winter for people. Like, everything's gone up, gotten more expensive, and once again, the government is coming to the rescue. Yay! This is how you build a base and how you create dependence and how you stay in power. They are cementing kind of the lower income vote by continually being the savior for people. All this is editorial and opinionated, obviously. And they're in the process of building a culture of non-self-reliance, but on government reliance. So in addition to covering, some upgrades for people for cost-effective, energy-efficient repairs, which I get. Like, they've been trying to do that for years. Buy this Energy Star water heater and, stuff like that. But now they're actually going to cover home heating costs this winter for people and unpaid utility bills. This is where it gets really weird. And this is where you sound like the most heartless person ever. And I get accused of this all the time. Well, I thought you were a Christian. You're so heartless. What, do you hate poor people? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, do you want people to freeze this winter? No, I do not. I would prefer that never happens to anybody. Then why don't you just give them everything? Ding, 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 ding. That's the problem. You can't do that. It's not healthy for the society as a whole, like, to become a socialism state. Like, it's not healthy. And socialism has never worked. In the history of our world, socialism and communism have never worked. Why would we go down this road? You know, and that's where they are pushing us. The Dems are pushing us towards that consistently. You know, Bernie Sanders is an unapologetic socialist, and so as they keep dancing closer and closer to that line, you're creating dependence on a government where you should be having dependence in your families. You should be having dependence in your churches and in people in your community. If you need help, everybody needs help at some point in time, and I get that. But it's like you're looking to the wrong people for help, because these people, it's always about them staying in power. That's all that this ever is. And I don't care what party you're in. Whichever party's in control, it's always that party trying to do what they want to do to stay in control, because that's how they make a living and that's how they have cush lives. And so they have two different ways going about it, the Dems and the Republicans, but each is trying to stay in power. And so, like, I understand that, but boy, this gets really, really, really messy. And so my example on this, though, it's like go after the people that are gouging. Go after companies that are gouging. Change it there. Release your oil reserves and fight OPEC, you know, and so we're not paying $4 at the pump anymore. We have the oil reserves. Do it. You know, instead you go after, you know, instead you create the reliance instead of going after the villains, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And one of the best examples I have for this, and again, I know it sounds like, you know, oh, you're just about bootstraps because you have white privilege. Okay, fine. That's fine. I'll wear that all day long. I don't even care about that argument anymore. But the reality is, in Africa, where I've spent large portions of time, and I love that continent, I love the people there, I love all the countries I've been to there, it's amazing. But we used to do a lot of work with Bloodwater, and they were a ministry that provided wells for people. And their whole goal was to give people clean water because waterborne illnesses kill millions of children every year. Mm-hmm. So you think, okay, we're just going to give them water. Give them water pumps. That's so easy. Like, just go build wells. That's easy. Why would we not do that? Well, it turns out it's really difficult to do. And you've got all this political corruption and all these problems with it. But the one thing that they do, every well that they dig, the community together has to come up with money for it. Not the entire well. They don't make them pay for the whole well. And when you get down to what it costs to drill a well and keep it running, what they're asking the community to pay is a very small price comparatively. Mm-hmm. But the community has ownership. The community has a stake in it. The community has pride in it because it wasn't just a handout. They now have skin in the game. So now they want to maintain it. That's their job. They want to keep it running. They want to keep it clean. They self-monitor to make sure that everybody in their community is respecting it, and they do it right. And so as a result, you can go all through Africa and find wells that were drilled by Bloodwater still working today and still providing, you know, health for people and still saving lives. You can also go 100 yards down the road, a mile down the road, 4 miles away, where someone just put in a well, like other NGOs, and they just drilled a well, and there's no community involvement, and they're broken, they're stagnant, they're not there anymore because it was a handout. The handouts don't work. They don't work there. They don't work here. And so that's the thing. And I keep sounding like a broken record on this stuff, but I'm like, we're creating an entire generation of kids as they grow up that's like, oh, well, the government did this for me. The government did this for me. The government did this for me. What? You know, and at some point in time, you have to pay the piper. They're going to come back to you for stuff and you're going to have to pay for it. And like, that's where socialism happens. That's where communism happens. And I know that's a big, giant leap to go to, but it's that slippery slope that you head towards that direction. And it starts when you indoctrinate the young and you make them no longer responsible for anything in their lives. And it's, well, somebody's going to take care of it. I can be as irresponsible as I want. I don't have to worry about my money. If I ever overspend, government's going to take care of it. They always do. They bail me out. If I don't have the money because instead I decided to go, drink my paycheck, you know what? The government's going to provide me heat. It's going to be fine. That's the problem, you know, and that's the systemic problem that we are creating that we need to change. And somebody has to call it out and say no, you know, because if we just keep going down this road, we're going to be hosed as a society. So there you go.
So what's the solution?
There is none. No, the solution is less government. The solution is stop the handouts. The solution is we as people need to be better in our own communities. We as people, gosh, we got to get better at our families. You know, we have so many broken families because we make so many bad decisions, and we have so many broken families as a result of that, that we have kids that are just lost in the mix of this, and we don't have those connections with family. We don't, when we're in trouble, we don't have people we can go to because we've fractured all of our relationships. So if to me, the long-term solution, honestly, is returning back to God. We've turned our backs on God. So the long-term solution that people don't want to hear is get right with God as a people, you know, and come back to the principles and the faith that, you know, have become distorted by liberal thinking over the years, and get back to that and take care of ourselves again in the church like we're supposed to. If we were doing that, our world would look very differently. So there you go. That's my solution. If you guys can work on that today, that'd be great.
Oh, no.
Betty and Gavin just hate politics so much, and I love it. I still love it.
Well, okay, yeah.
I believe
in everything you are saying. Like, right. I do definitely, like, believe
yeah,
in it.
I agree with you. It's just that like you were saying earlier, to me, it's like we can complain, we can right. state the truth over. Okay.
Yeah, but it seems like it doesn't change anything. But the reality is if you don't make people rethink about things and you don't remind people of things, it does go downhill and it does go down fast.
I think that being able to model what it looks like to be a community that takes care of each other, I think is something that the church can do yeah. a very good job of. And I think that our church, for example, up in Nashville, we're in this like outright neighborhood, and we try our very best to do activities that include the neighborhood, and we try to reach out to these people to say, hey, here's a solution for maybe the need that you have, whether it's
right.
you know, maybe it is a little bit financial and helping people get back up on their feet, or helping them with projects that they can't work on. And we're not in a, you know, a low income neighborhood. And I think those are much larger tasks to take on. A church can't just go into that kind of situation and be the solution, but they can be a part of that solution. And so I think us mirroring that, instead of just being an outcast and a lone wolf, we get to be a community. And I think that's our role.
I wish that our divorce rate inside of faith was so much lower. But like, the reality is our divorce rate inside of Christianity mirrors that of those outside of it. It's like 50%, 48%. Okay. 52, I don't remember what the number is, but it basically is on par. And that to me is kind of sad. Like, that's where I'm like, we could be a really good example to what families should look like, and what love should look like, and what grace and forgiveness and all that and parenting should look like. And we unfortunately just model kind of what the world is. And I think if we, again, it really does come back to that. If we really change that part of it, we really could change the world, you know, and the way that things go, and it could be a very different looking place.
Well, and I think that the world doesn't do a good enough job of putting a lot of importance on family. I think it does a really good job of putting importance on, like, you get yours and you do you and you speak, again, your favorite, your truth. And it's a lot about being an individual, and individualism and community is just not this inherent push, I guess. It is a push on the government saying, we've got your back. And eventually that's going to, you know, the backbone is going to be weakened every time we throw billions of dollars on the debt pile.
That said, Gavin is cashing in that $20,000 student loan. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. It's being offered.
Principles versus reality.
But I will take on my tasks. I'm gonna take what's offered. That's hard to ignore. I'd be foolish to not accept the money, but I'm not. I wasn't complaining that I had to pay it.
Right, exactly. Lady Rock, do you have any birthdays? We've been birthdayless the last couple days.
Yeah, we need some happiness.
I don't.
Oh, really?
No birthdays.
What is the deal in this time, like, of year, like, with very few birthdays in late October?
For people listening, how do they submit a birthday? Is it on our website?
Yeah, and I feel like I have a keyword for it? Anyways, I do have a question. We have a question from Hagen,
Ooh.
What is the strangest or most interesting thing you own?
I'm trying to think of strangest.
I wish I could do a walkthrough of my house. I got to do a mental walkthrough.
I know. Like, the most interesting thing I have is that George Washington watch. The strangest thing... I don't know. I started collecting like musical instruments from other countries when I would go on trips because sometimes they were hard to get back home. But I did like that. Like, I've got a bunch of different instruments that are usually goat skinned. Is like the either what? The drum or the guitar ish kind of thing to make it resonate is usually a goat skin. So I have a bunch of stuff in my travel room that I like.
I have some. I'm sure this is culturally wrong or politically incorrect.
You have ivory.
I have Indian money, which is what I was raised to say that's what it is.
Okay.
But you get these like little cylinder looking rocks in the bottom of the river.
Rupees. Yeah.
And I have a little dish of it on my nightstand I've had for years.
Now,
because
is it really like Native American money or
no.
Okay.
It's just rocks. It's just what you call it.
Oh.
They look like they're cylinder and they have like little loops around them.
Really?
Anyways, you always find them around.
That's what you call it.
Riverbeds. Yeah.
When you're in the South, that's just what you call it.
That's what you call it. That's what I've always called it. Anyways, me and one of my best friends, Jerry Ann, we collected some of it when we went over to the school that we grew up in. We've known each other for years. And we got some from the river, like the little creek over there. And so I keep it with me.
Do you?
Just to remember that day, because it was a really good day.
My daughter used to collect rocks. Like, every time we would go on a trip, she would find one rock that was, like, she thought was special.
Yeah.
And, like, a shape or a reason. And one of them we got from this aqueduct. It looks like a heart, which was kind of cool. But we were in France, and it was an aqueduct that was built at the time of Jesus, which I was like, wow, that's amazing. And they have this big, like, all these arches over the river. You're like, how did they do that? You know, the technology then, and no cranes, and it's just amazing to me. And like, so picking up this rock that was there at that time of, you know, this construction, I always thought was kind of cool. So she had a little collection like that.
I miss when rocks were like a highlight of just being alive.
Yeah.
And you just pick one up and you're like, this is amazing.
This
nowadays,
is the best rock ever.
I just need, like, I have the version of a rock nowadays is like the newest iPhone. You're like, oh, but right. You spent $1,000 to get it.
On that rock, for sure. All right. Gavin?
Oh, I think it's only strange in that you wouldn't expect to find them in a Gen Zer's house, but it would probably be just VHS tapes and like hundreds of them.
Ah, that's true.
When you walk in and they're just sprawled out on the entertainment center, just that my wife had those. It wasn't that she was collecting them. It's just that's how she watched movies when she was younger.
That's so crazy.
And just said, I'm never getting rid of these.
Do you have duplicates of your VHS movies like on DVD?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Plenty of duplicates. But nowadays, there's, you know, so many platforms. You're watching them on VHS tapes,
right.
DVDs.
Streaming.
They're all on Disney Plus because they're all Disney movies. So they're just everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, because, we used to keep... We bought DVDs, you know, for a long time, and now I can't even tell you the last time I bought a DVD.
I think we have less DVDs than we do VHS tapes.
We had more VHS tapes because at that time, too, like then, like you had VHS tapes is the only way to have it. And then DVDs came out and they were kind of pricey.
Yeah.
But then right at that time, too, it was like starting to shift into streaming a little bit more and there were more options to watch. And I'm like, I'll just watch it on TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I did find out that there is a keyword and it is shout out. So
I did not see that coming.
So if you have a birthday coming up or you know someone you want to celebrate their birthday, this is a birthday shout out.
Right.
So a birthday.
And you have to give us a question. Like that's the whole reason. The reason we do them is because we love your questions that we get to address here on the show.
And also to celebrate you.
And that, yes, because you're amazing.
Is shout out spelled all as
one word?
One word?
All one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you
go. Text it to 91979.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. And thanks for being a potty.